Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Indeed it is. Third hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell manning the board at our game studios. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network has tweeted out at Colts practice today, Brett Hundley took a majority of the starter reps and Jacob Eason. Actually, this was on Wednesday. And Jacob Eason also. And it looks like that both of them could play against the Titans. I don't know how you make that work if indeed Carson Wentz is out. They're saying a final decision may not even come until Sunday. Pretty interesting.
So unlike, game time decision.
And the more
Chicago, where they had just announced on, what was it, Tuesday? Yeah, Justin Fields is starting.
Yeah, I mean, I think they know that Dalton is out. But and Fields didn't play very well last week. They won sort of in spite of him. But I think the hints that you get from the Colts, there's a lot of worry that Wentz just flat out won't be ready. He just won't be ready. As much as he wants to play, I think they're preparing themselves. You know, I will be pleasantly surprised if he can play.
It looked bad. There's no doubt. And when it's, I mean, who's ever heard? It's one thing to have two sprained ankles. I mean, that's, you don't hear that a lot.
He sprained early in the game and kept playing. And then the other one, he just couldn't put weight on it.
It's hard to be more efficient than 2 for 2 on sprained ankles.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Analytics tell you that? Analytics.
Good Lord only gives you two. And if you sprain both, then it's harder to top that.
Folks, you just don't get that stuff everywhere. You can only get it on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
I'm sure Kelly is excited about that.
It's amazing that he's here this week.
The revelation.
I thought for sure he would be too busy to come on the show. But, you know, my guess is with the review, he wanted to be there for that. So let's bring in former MTSU quarterback, former NFL quarterback. I don't believe he ever had two sprained ankles. He did spend time as a Colts quarterback. Kelly Holcomb is on the line with us. Kelly, how you doing?
Darren, it's really funny you say that because I did sprain both ankles in one game.
Really?
Wow. Tell us about that.
I was going to say, you played for the Browns, you had a sprained ego, but, you know, there's that.
Wow. Well,
first of all, I've been yelling at kids, so I hope my voice holds up, okay? I've been trying to stamp that ignorance on a football field, which is hard to do these days, okay? So when we played the San Francisco 49ers, I ended up, and this, you know, I'm not trying to beat my chest to all the listeners out there, but I ended up breaking my leg on the first play of the game. I actually fractured my fibula. And I went over there on the sideline, and I'm like, after that play, I threw the ball, and I was like, something's really wrong here. But idiot boy here stays in the game. And for me overcompensating for my fibula, I finished the game too. I don't know how I did it. I still don't know how I did it. I had a couple of good stuff. You know, I had a little good stuff in me. But I don't know how I finished the game. I overcompensated and I twisted both my ankles.
Oh, my God. So, wait a minute, you had a broken leg and you twisted both ankles in that game.
Yes, it was awful.
And you were out for how long?
I was out for probably 6 weeks.
Wow.
I was that year that I won the starting job, and then we actually came back and beat San Francisco 13-12 at the end of the game. Our last two drives we scored. We didn't do anything the whole game. I mean, I literally couldn't move. And we came back and beat those guys 13-12.
I've got to be honest, Kelly, after hearing that story, I kind of now feel like maybe, well, if you can do that, then Carson Wentz can get his sprained ankle butt out there and play on Sunday.
Well, everybody has different pain tolerances, man. I don't recommend that for anybody. You know, looking back on it, me being 48 years old, I probably should not have done that. But when it came to playing, man, I didn't care what I was going to finish the game.
Wow. Great story. Wow. Let's bring in Forever Titan Chris Sanders, who ran track, and he needed his speed. Did you ever sprain two ankles at the same time?
I actually did. I think it was like in the fourth grade. I was doing double dutch. And I hurt my two ankles, but I stayed in the double dutch competition and I won. So that's kind of what happened in that situation.
Yeah, I see. I didn't
I'm sure that post-game press conference after you won, they were asking you about your toughness to stay in there.
I mean, I hung in there. I got some, you know, got some advice. Should I stay or stay in or get out? But I stayed and I finished the competition and, you know, took third. So, hey, I know how to be a tough guy once in a while.
Did you have Mr. Miyagi do the special thing on the ankles?
Absolutely. He was there. I mean, he performed his magic, and I got back in, and, you know, the crowd was cheering for me. So, hey, it was a great moment that I'll never forget.
I've got to be honest. I'm just impressed that you're willing to tell that story. Kelly tells this incredible story of breaking a leg and spraining both ankles in a come-from-behind victory in the NFL, and you give us a double Dutch fourth grade story.
It was a big competition.
It was a big competition. It was worldwide, man. You see.
Oh, boy. Worldwide. The things you conjure up in your head is amazing.
This is why I love having him on this competition.
It's Daryl. It's not Chris. It's Daryl. Alter ego is?
Dwayne.
Now we have Daryl.
No, Dwayne. Dwayne is he's on injured reserve, man, because his feelings are hurt. So
I was going to say, do we have a third member to this? We now have a Daryl?
Let's just go with it. I mean, he's got multiple personalities anyway. Let's just go with it.
All right. He has not signed an extension, but he is still currently the commissioner. Let's turn things over to Willie Dunnick.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome in to another week of competition in the 2021 Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We have 3 weeks in the books. Our online competition continues to grow. Let's first look back at the most popular picks from our listening audience. The most popular pick in the land. Chase, do you care to guess what the most popular pick was? Among the college games.
Michigan State.
You are absolutely right. 28%. Selected Michigan State in their win at Miami, an impressive win for them. They won going away, and we'll get a little more on that game in a moment because it was picked by the panel. The next most popular pick, 22% of the audience, selected Auburn at Penn State. Auburn comes up short in the former Vandy Coaches Bowl, James Franklin against Derek Mason. James Franklin gets the win, a big win for the Big Ten. And then the third most popular pick, 20%, went with Florida State, an underdog at Wake Forest, and the Demon Deacons just took the Seminoles to the woodshed. So that one did not go very well at all for our underdog pickers. But the guy who came out on top, Chris Finnan from Nashville, 29 points and a tie-breaking win over Ed Sanchez. So congratulations to Chris. He wins the weekly prize. We have a new weekly prize every week, so we encourage you to play every week with us at thegamenashville.com. Now, let's get to the recap from the insiders. The first pick this past week belonged to Chris Sanders. He was looking to get on the board, sticking with his philosophy, going with the big dogs. He went with Temple, a smart pick on paper because they're playing at home in Philly, taking on BC, not a juggernaut, and Boston College was playing with their second-string quarterback. Their first-string quarterback, hurt, could be out for a while. And yet Temple was a 14.5-point dog. And, Chris, if I told you before the game that BC was going to pass for 34 yards in the entire game, you'd have to say, okay, my plan's working perfect.
It's good.
And it's failed. It didn't work.
Final score, BC 28, Temple 3. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Love you.
Didn't even cover.
Everything was looking good until they played the game.
Absolutely.
So Temple.
Hey, good teams win. Great teams cover. That's a bad team.
It's a very bad team.
No points for a cover.
Pick a Tibble again. Absolutely not.
The second pick belonged to Kelly Holcomb. He went with the most popular pick on the board, Michigan State, a 6-point dog at Miami. They threw 4 touchdown passes. They really just blew by the Hurricanes in the second half. I got a chance to watch a lot of that game. Good win for the Spartans. We'll see how good they end up being or how maybe shaky Miami is, even though everybody's wanting to see them become a factor again. Final score, 38-17. So Kelly starts creeping up. The first of two wins for Mr. Holcomb.
Well, I think that Michigan State may be a little bit better than people thought, and I think Miami sucks. So there
you go. That's a good combination for you, that Kelly.
I think you're spot on.
Well, I mean, Manny Diaz, you know, obviously he was a coordinator for MTSU, but he's definitely on the hot seat, I would say.
Kelly, I texted with a Michigan State alum and former member of this esteemed panel.
Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer for 3D, and he asked me, did I select the Spartans? And I said, no, because Kelly got it first. And he said, well, Kelly sucks for that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, Chase McCabe had the third pick. He next on the board, he was kind of disappointed that Michigan State wasn't there, but he also, in his back pocket, had a tip from another esteemed member of the panel, Tim Hasselbeck, who was on the call for Virginia, an 8-point dog at North Carolina. And his point was the coaching matchup, Virginia and Bronco Mendenhall had a lot of success against Mack Brown's teams. Well, not on Saturday. The final score, Virginia falls 59-39 in Chapel Hill. Chase, you're still winless.
I'm aware. Thank you for that.
Did you call Tim after the game and say, what happened?
Yeah, you know.
Where was the breakdown?
He wasn't answering my calls then, so I don't know.
And this wasn't a bad thing for Darren because he had that on the agenda. He filed that away when Tim shared that with us on the air. But then Darren decided to go local and go with the Commodores, a 12-point dog hosting Stanford, the Cardinal coming in from the West Coast, the first Pac-12 team ever to come and play Vanderbilt. Now let's set the stage. Vanderbilt makes a goal line stand on the 1-yard line, drives the ball the length of the field in the second quarter to tie the game at 14. A lot of momentum. Things looking good. Stanford had moved the ball a ton in the first half. They go down and they kick a field goal. It's 17-14. Okay, offense feeling good. You get the ball, a minute 53 left. And from the minute 53 to halftime and then the first possession of the second half, it goes from 17-14 to 31-14. Game over.
Loser. Yep.
Final score 41-23.
That's what I get for getting frisky. I got frisky.
You believed.
Got frisky with the lead. Tried to deliver a death nail. It blew up my face.
I mean, just think about it.
Yeah. Think about it. You think I was frisky? I took Vanderbilt and the Jags. Like, what the hell was I thinking? Golly.
We'll get to that thing in a second.
So ridiculous.
But, Darren, also, I know our listeners are very disappointed that I'm not wearing the Darren McFarland hat with the Darren McFarland mug over the star V, which I promised to do if Vanderbilt won the game. And I would have gladly done it. I stayed all the way through to the end. I even saw the Mike Wright touchdown pass to Cam Johnson on the last play of the game to make it 41-23. Darren also, as he said, took the Jags as we moved on to the pro portion of the picks, a 6-point dog against the Broncos. Broncos are now 2-0, 23-13, and they D'd up on the rookie Trevor Lawrence. Never really got going.
Yeah. Not much to say there. It's the Jags. Yeah. Okay, moving along.
You know, there was a great philosopher that used to be part of this conversation, Darren, that used to say, picks that make sense. Yeah. And you go Jags and Commodores, your question. I can tell there's a little self-doubt.
Yeah. Two home teams.
You were feeling a little – you were 4-0. You were feeling it like you were untouchable, invincible.
Like I said, got frisky and I got burned.
Yeah.
Back to reality.
Chase McCabe had the next pick. He took the Jets. Another questionable.
That was stupid.
Was that a pick that made sense?
No.
The Jets are usually an option.
No, they're not.
Well, I'm just saying, as far as an eligible team, you have to be an underdog to be eligible. The Jets are usually eligible for this competition.
They don't call it rational underdog picks.
They lost 25-6. The Patriots, kind of like the Broncos, just shredded the rookie. He had nothing. So the Jets have had trouble scoring, which is not good for Chase, nor is it good for our fantasy team because we have some Jets on that team. Kelly Holcomb selected the Dallas Cowboys, who Chase passed on, which I was a little surprised. Dallas at 3.5 at L.A. to take on the Chargers, and the Chargers chargered. They went up and down the field, somehow end up with only 17 points, and Greg Zuerlein drills a game-winning field goal.
56-yarder.
56 yards, and the Cowboys win 20-17. So Kelly is now 2-0 in the week, 3-3 in the competition.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, man, stop it.
There was some text to that effect, I think, on Sunday evening.
No question.
Chase, do you feel bad you didn't pick the Cowboys?
I feel bad I didn't pick the Titans either. I mean, like, right. You know, I was thinking about the Titans too, and I was I think the Jets.
Nobody took them.
Get their first win.
Chris Sanders had the last pick, and he selected the Texas.
The
Houston Texans. Why did I write down? I wrote down Texas. Why? They were a 12.5-point dog. Maybe Texas would have had a better chance against the Browns than the Texans.
No, they hung in, man. Stop that.
They did. They actually were in the game, and then Tyrod Taylor got hurt.
Absolutely.
The Browns pulled away at 31-21, but the Texans did play well, and they won their first game. So
yeah.
But, Chris, you came up short. So Chris and Chase both at 0-6 on the year. Darren drops two, but he's still in first place with 22.5 points. Kelly has surged 3-3 with his move the chains kind of passing attack, 13.5 points total. So we'll move on to week four when we come back from the break. Kelly has the first pick, followed by Chase, Darren, then Chris has the back-to-back, Darren, Chase, and Kelly. One college, one pro. Now remember, on our online contest, you pick a combination of three games. You can go three college or three pro if you want, any combination of the two. Just get those picks in before Saturday at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. The picks are coming for week four in the Silly Underdog Competition. Stay tuned. It is time for the picks. Week number four of the Silly Underdog Competition presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. If you missed our last segment, going into week four, Darren McFarland with the lead in the competition at 22.5 points. Kelly Holcomb, the defending champion, 13.5. Chase McCabe and forever Titan Chris Sanders at 0-6. Trying to get it going. Trying to get a spark. Kelly Holcomb, winning two last week, has the first pick for week number four.
Kids need to stay off the lawn.
Yeah, right, man. Well, I've got two picks here, and I'm really torn between them. But I think I'm going to go with Darren's school. I think that the South Carolina Gamecocks beat the Kentucky Wildcats.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting pick. Going into the SEC.
Had another one, and I'm going to be upset if I, you know. But, hey, you got to pick one, so I'm going to go with that one.
South Carolina is a 5-point home dog against the 3-0 Kentucky Wildcats. Anybody else have that on their radar?
Who looked very shaky last week?
I didn't.
Chattanooga.
You said it was 5.5 or five?
Five.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the game.
I mean, I didn't have it, no.
No.
Once again, I'm not worried about it. Y'all had it.
Okay. I did enjoy Beamer's press conference after their game against Georgia. When asked about their defense, he's like, "I don't know if you've watched them or not." But he's like, "They got like 5-star kids running all over the place. They're pretty good."
So that is pick number one. That brings us to Chase McCabe, who now has the floor to try to get his first win of the season.
So John Cena always says, you can't see me, and you can't see me because I'm not on the board. And so I got to figure this out. And I am torn. I'm torn between two games, and I will say that there is an individual that was an esteemed member of this panel that actually created this competition that took one game and called it a book it, which kind of scared me away. But
yeah, you don't want to listen to him, Chase.
I know.
we all know who you're talking about, Ricky. We all know who you're talking about. I wouldn't listen to him.
Yeah. All right. So I am going to go to the state of Texas.
Yeah. That's where you're going.
That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to call the Hogs.
I am. Jerry's World. Woo Pig Suey. Going to call the Hogs. I got to get on the board here.
The Arkansas Razorbacks, ranked 16th, a 4.5-point dog, taking on number 7 Texas A&M. And this is in Jerry's World. These two teams have played there before, and the games have been pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. This is the 2:30 game on CBS. So a couple of games involving SEC teams this week. So I think it's an intriguing pick. Arkansas feeling really good about where they are right now. But can they take the Aggies? Can they win?
You'll be doing that while you're doing your little tailgate party.
Yeah, I mean, that is the tailgate party.
That's why I said it.
Something tells me if people are calling the Hogs and they're looking good, there could be some good vibes. There could be some – there's no telling what Chase might be up to. I mean, we had Michael Rappaport on, Darren, and, you know, he described what happens with him when things are going well for his team.
He did.
He said he starts removing articles of clothing.
That would be fun. If Chase could do that at Mellow Mushroom, if he just starts stripping down –
I don't know if that. If Arkansas wins,
will you take off your shirt and run around Mellow Mushroom?
I don't want to get arrested.
That's not against the law, I don't think.
it's Broadway. You never know, man. Like, it could inspire other people to do things, and you know, I probably won't take the shirt off. No,
maybe have like a sleeveless undershirt.
Maybe I will. I'll tell you this. Maybe I will stone cold Steve Austin some beers, which means I'll just pour beer on myself. Maybe I'll do that.
Okay.
Well, you got to video it.
We'll get video.
Okay.
All right.
That's fair enough.
That brings us to Darren McFarland with pick number 3.
Be a believer. Such a dumb name. I'm just going to be honest. I haven't watched them, but I am going to watch them on Saturday because they play on CBS at 11 o'clock. They're 3-0. They've beat Washington State. They've beaten Air Force. They've beaten North Dakota. Like I said, I haven't watched them. I have watched a little bit of their opponent, and I don't think they're the same Broncos team that we've been accustomed to over the years. Utah State's getting 9 at home. I'll take them.
I had that one written down against Boise, but I'm just trying to get on the board.
It's not the same Boise team we've been accustomed to.
Now, what an interesting game to have on CBS at 11 a.m., this is just not what you normally see. In Nashville, you flip on Channel 5. Utah State is a 9-point home dog at 3-0 against the 1-2 Boise State Broncos. You don't often see Boise State at 1-2.
I don't think they're that good.
Does that make that like a 10 a.m. kickoff local time for Utah State?
Yes, it would.
Yes, it does.
Yuck.
Utah State.
I kind of look at this as I think the wrong team's favored.
In this game, are we verifying that this is right, what we're seeing here, that the game is on CBS, not CBS Sports Network?
No, CBS.
CBS.
Yeah.
Why? I asked that question, Chris. Why?
Darren, whether this makes you feel better or worse, Ricky says Utah State is my lock of the day.
Oh, wow. Ricky, he does a lot of research on this.
He does a ton of research.
Okay, brings us to Chris Sanders, who has back-to-back picks. He has his college pick and then the pros.
Let's go. Yep, I need it. Yep, I sure do.
Help!
When I was young. All right.
When I was young.
Here we go. This is where I make my move. This is depicted. Everybody's been salivating over for it. I'm surprised y'all didn't pick it up. It is UConn over Wyoming.
Oh, my God.
Is there even a line for that?
I'm making my move, baby.
Oh, my.
This game is on the Travel Channel, I'm sure.
No, it's on Nickelodeon, and I'm watching it.
With green slime.
No, it's on Vine.
There you go.
Okay.
It's on Vine Plus.
Okay. Now, first of all, Wyoming has been involved in an all-time record amount of picks, I think, for a season already.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Kara Hammer has to love this segment because of that.
I didn't know if Kara has been sending, you know, tips to you guys. Of course, it hasn't worked because Wyoming is 3-0. But UConn is 0-4, and
this is where they get off the snide, man.
I just want to let you guys know this is how dumb Chris's picks are. Like, Kelly, I want you to listen to this. UConn is getting 30.5, okay? Just think about that. What do you think the over-under in that game is?
Hey,
if they're getting 30.5, what do you think the over-under is?
Okay.
I wouldn't even give
some history.
It's stupid.
54. You know what that's telling us? They don't believe Connecticut scores a point.
Okay.
Or it's going to be like 7 points or less. The over-under is 54 on a 30.5-point spread.
Let's go back to a couple of years ago when Vanderbilt was a 34-point underdog with Missouri.
No, it was 21.
Chris, it wasn't 34. It wasn't 34, but it was a lot. It was a lot. That was a huge win. That got Chris a championship, honestly.
Chris, let me ask you something. When you're in the huddle – When you're in the huddle with your players, do you say, hey, 3 years ago we had this happen? No, you don't live in the past, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely right. But, hey, this is where I take my lead right here, baby.
You realize you're not taking the basketball team, male or female. You're getting the football team at Connecticut.
Hey, Wyoming might have a bad game. I'm serious, man. And when I get these 29, 30 points, I'm taking the lead this week, guaranteed. Taking the lead.
The Huskies of UConn are a 30.5-point home
dog. I swear if you hit this, I quit.
Against undefeated Wyoming. Wow. Wow, wow.
Win
all one right.
For the Gipper.
We will be. This is CBS Sportsnet, which at 2:30, you know, you're going up against the big dog kind of games. But I feel like I've got to check in on this game.
This one won't be on at Mellow Mushroom.
You don't think so? I think you got to be able to get one of the screens on this. On this game, Chase.
Can
just
you imagine the look
game.
On the server's face when I go, hey, could I get the UConn Wyoming game on?
You think that person would go, oh, sure, coming right up. I know exactly
no,
what channel
gonna,
that's
they're
on.
Probably going to say, what's a UConn? That's what they're going to say. Oh, you mean like the basketball team.
They say, you know, it's football season, right?
Have y'all phones ready. Just have them ready.
Okay.
It'll be charged.
How did you get to this point? Like, when you looked through the schedule, like, where did you come? How did you get to Connecticut and Wyoming?
No, check this out. You're looking – okay, just like you said, they're 0-4. You got a team that's 3-0. UConn wants to beat this team. So what I'm saying is I'm thinking in the mind of a player that if somebody comes in there and says that, you know, they're going to just smash this, somebody's going to rise up. Somebody's going to get a pick. Somebody's going to make a special play. And that's what's going to give me the lead next week. And have your phones ready. Don't put it on silent now.
Hey, Chris. Nate on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Chris may make horrible picks, but at least he's funny.
Yeah. He's got that going for him.
Yeah, well,
no doubt.
That pick right there sucks.
All right, Chris,
yes,
you have the first pick in the pros,
right.
And I will just plant the seed, too. UConn comes to Nashville to play the Commodores next week.
And I'm going
to
pick them again.
So this,
here we go. Ready?
You're saying this is the springboard win to bring
absolutely.
Them momentum to Nashville. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, my pro game is I'm going with Houston over Carolina.
Of course you are.
I knew you. I
he
knew.
Has been on this Houston bandwagon.
I'm telling you.
He loves the Texans. Houston plays tonight. It is the Texans as an 8-point home dog against.
Okay, don't say anything. Chris, who is the quarterback for Houston tonight? Do you know?
Some guy that throws the ball.
Yeah, but do you know his
he
name?
Will throw the ball.
Do you know his name?
Kelly Holcomb.
Who is it? I have no idea.
Clearly.
It's Davis Mills. Davis Mills is under center tonight.
Okay, but check this out, though. Just have your phones ready tonight. That's all I'm saying. I have your phone ready. Darren, all I'm saying,
Darren, when you,
have
when
him
you
ready.
Just told him that, his heart sank, dude, because he's like, no, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Davis Mills. That, like, who has even heard of Davis Mills?
He's a rookie.
Hey, he's been waiting to cut, man.
He's from Stanford, right? Is that right? So yeah, he was Stanford's absolutely. Guy last year. So Houston is an 8-point dog playing at home against the 2-0 Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. All right. Chris, I got to tell you, if you win these two picks, you vault way into the league, I think.
Absolutely.
In the lead. All right, that brings us to Darren McFarland for his pro pick.
Tell you what, the nice thing picking after Chris is you're not worried about him taking your pick. I mean, that's the really the nice thing about it.
The Jags
like,
are there for
like
you, Darren.
Nobody ever goes, damn, he took my pick. Like, nobody ever says that after his pick.
No, but I have a feeling you're going to take mine.
I don't love the NFL board.
The Jags are there for you.
I don't love it.
Jags, Darren.
The Jags can go skip rocks, okay? I'm done with the Jags for a while. I'm gonna go Packers Sunday Night Football.
Hmm. Okay.
The Packers are a 3.5-point dog on the road against the 2-0 49ers. And this would be hearkening back to the NFC Championship game from 2 years ago, and that didn't go very well for Green Bay. The Pack, 3.5. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers can build on the second half of Monday night. All right, that brings us to Chase McCabe.
Okay. Well, you didn't go where I thought you were going to go. He didn't
Is that
look
where you're going?
He didn't look good. What? Jags? No Jags.
Oh.
Definitely no Jags. He didn't look good necessarily when he came in, but now he's the starter. It's QB1. Give me Da Bears. On the road at Cleveland.
At Cleveland. The Bears are a 7-point dog to take on the Brownies, who are 1-1.
Don't hate it.
Interesting pick.
I think it's still early in the season. I do believe in Cleveland. I think they're a good team. But I could see a letdown. I could see a letdown by the lake. That's what I could see.
Okay. Browns, after losing the first game at 1-1, after maybe a little less than impressive win over the Texans. All right, let's go to Kelly for the final pick of Week 4.
Well, I got another two games and nobody took it. So I am. I was thanking Joe Burrow, but I'm not going to do that because I don't think Pittsburgh will lose twice. I know Roethlisberger's messed up and got some things going on, but I'm going to say the Atlanta Falcons beat the New York Giants.
Somebody's going to get a win. It would appear. The Falcons, a 3-point dog in the Meadowlands against the Giants, with both teams at 0-2. Pretty intriguing to see if the Giants can bounce back after the really, really tough loss, in which for about 30 seconds they thought they had won the game until they realized their guy jumped into the neutral zone on a missed field goal and gave him a second chance. So we'll see if Arthur Smith can get off the schneid and get his first NFL win. It's only a 3-pointer, but that is how Kelly operates. Let's see if it happens again. Now, let's review the picks for Week 4. Silly Underdogs, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Kelly Holcomb led it off. He's 1-2 in a row, looking to keep the momentum going with South Carolina, a 5-point home dog, taking on Darren's beloved Kentucky Wildcats. Chase McCabe, looking for his first win of the season, goes down to Jerry's World in Dallas for an exciting game. 3-0 Arkansas, a 4.5-point dog, taking on 3-0 Texas A&M, ranked 7th in the country. Can the Hogs keep moving forward in the SEC West after being the doormat for a couple of years? Darren McFarland with the third pick selects on CBS, a nationally televised Utah State Aggies, a 9-point home dog taking on the Boise State Broncos, who are 1-2. Very intriguing. Then Chris Sanders, also at 0-6, trying to jump on the scoreboard big. He goes with the hapless Huskies of UConn, a 30.5-point home dog against 3-0 Wyoming. A stunning pick, even for Chris. He was mocked by the panel.
Is it, though?
Chris Sanders then comes back and takes the Houston Texans at 1-1, playing tonight as an 8-point home dog against the upstart 2-0 Carolina Panthers. Darren McFarland with his pro pick goes with the Packers of Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers an underdog? Not a bad philosophy. 3.5 points against the 49ers. House of horrors for them in the NFC Championship game a couple of years ago. Then Chase McCabe goes with the Bears. 7-point dogs at the Browns in Cleveland with the rookie quarterback, Mr. Fields, in the state of Ohio, where he started for the Buckeyes on a little drive south. Then finally, Kelly Holcomb goes with Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons, a 3-point dog playing in New York, I should say New Jersey, against the Giants. A pair of 0-2 teams, somebody's going to get a dub, it would appear. Remember, you can play this contest with us. The underdog must win outright. No points for a cover. Go to thegamenashville.com every week and select your three games and test your luck. We got prizes every week. Those are our picks for week number 4. Gentlemen, good luck.
On my text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Chris puts the silly in silly underdog picks. Chris puts the silly in silly underdog picks.
Yes, he does.
All right, guys.
Guys, great stuff as always. Who do you got, Kelly, tomorrow?
We have got – who do we got? Good gracious, you didn't ask me something.
Rockville? Or was that last week?
We beat Rockville last week. We got Smyrna.
Smyrna, oh. Okay.
Smyrna Bulldogs, yeah. They lost the game due to COVID, but they're pretty good. They're always physical and they're big, so we'll have a tough one.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week. Chris, who do you guys got?
Hey, we got Brentwood Academy. You know, that's
the big one.
Ooh.
We got to get after it. And, we got to get after it. We're going to get after them.
No, probably no seats available for that one.
Absolutely. Are we going to do this again? Are you coming?
No.
Harold's gone.
Hey, no, I'm not going to get you.
You're going to hang up on me?
I was going to get you, but I can't. I love you, man.
That was, by the way, classic. Kelly, he literally hung up on the show last week.
I know, I heard it. I think I heard it.
Guys, thank you. Always fun.
All right, guys. Okay.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, fellas. See you.
Forever Titan receiver Chris Sanders, former quarterback Kelly Holcomb. Always fun with those guys. Look, the picks may stink, but it's always fun. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the third hour next. Good stuff as always. Silly underdog picks. Come on. We want you to play along with us. Our numbers are great, but we want to keep them coming. We want to keep them growing. Remember, we have weekly prizes. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, we're brought to you by Creation CBD. Creation means healing, and that says it all. Creation is passionate about providing quality CBD products for everyday use, including gummies, topicals like moisturizers and roll-on muscle relief, pet products, and more. I'm here to tell you, I've been using the CBD oil with my female German Shepherd who has got medical issues. She has a lot of seizures, and we have seen a considerable difference since being on that. It has been a big deal in our house. You can also purchase Creation CBD at the Painted Tree in Franklin or online at creationcompany.com. That's creationcompany.com. Creation CBD products curated for life. Keen Henry, Derrick Henry, who went for 182 and 3 scores, also had 6 catches in Seattle, spoke today after practice. Here's what he had to say.
Element of surprise with the speed that you have?
I really don't know. I just go out there and try to get to the end zone and score and, you know, try to outrun the DB, whoever is beside me, to get to the end zone. There's a lot of fast players in this league, so I try to hit it another gear when I get in the open field.
Did you recognize Caleb Wagner's performance? What did you think about what he was able to do in breaking your record and maybe what kind of inspiration is he, just what he's and how he's been able to have success despite, you know, having to deal with some different physical situations?
Yeah, I think it's incredible. I thought it was really cool. I got to talk to him a little bit on Instagram, and hopefully he breaks some more. But you know, that's really cool. Definitely an inspiration to me, and I'm sure he's an inspiration to his team and everybody over there in that community. So you know, it's definitely cool to see, and hopefully you know I can you know do something for him in these upcoming weeks. But yeah, I love to see it. So.
Paul, what record would ever be broken? I mean, you could run for five. Would you have 5:21? You figure that record?
Like 5:02.
Yeah.
Like
ever think that would be broken?
I mean, Florida boys are different, so I knew somebody would come around and break it eventually.
Do you enjoy maybe the impact one of your big runs had? You know, like the one you had against Seattle. What impact does that have on your teammates on the sideline, so forth? Do you enjoy, you know, seeing what it does for those guys?
Oh yeah, just happy to make a play, you know, and especially in that situation, to be able to respond very quickly, to give us a chance, and you know they did a great job blocking, so of course they're gonna be happy, and of course I'm happy because I'm able to get in the end zone. By the way, you know, they blocking did their job, so always appreciative of one another, and we definitely get up when there's a big touchdown, especially one of those long ones.
Derek, for that kid who broke your record, you mentioned you were on the on the phone with him. I guess what was maybe your message to him? You said that you were kind of inspired by him. Is there anything that you kind of said to him in particular?
Oh yeah, I just told him to keep going, keep working hard, keep God first, break some more records, and like I said, I've been trying to talk to him, see what I can do for him. It's just a cool situation. He was out running guys. Guys weren't touching him. This is very cool. And, you know, records are meant to be broken. I hope he breaks some more.
When you're in a good rhythm, running the ball on a series, do you feel momentum building that a big play that you can break one is coming pretty soon? Or do you just kind of go with the flow and just let it go where it happens?
I really just focus on finishing runs. And then when that play comes, you know, make it. And that's always been my focus. But, you know, those guys up front are finishing forward. You know, you see the momentum start to carry and, you know, us, you know, getting in drives and moving down the field.
When you're in a situation like you were Sunday or any day where you get that many carries, what prepares you, I guess, to be ready for such a big load week in and week out?
Yeah, just taking care of your body week in and week out and doing everything you need to do to make sure your body's prepared to be ready for Sunday throughout the week and go out there and play the high level.
How good was it to see Julio Jones just get going last Sunday? He made some great catches there from Ryan. It continues to build the trust there between those two.
Yeah, I mean, you see the highlights, you know, through his years at Atlanta, and you know, you hear about it when you're at Alabama. It was very nice and cool to see him in his element out there in Seattle last Sunday.
You're talking about taking care of your body. Tannehill was saying yesterday, you'll see a couple days after a big game, you're walking around like you're not even sore. I'm sure that's not the case, but, you know, being able to take care of your body the way you do, how much does that prepare you for, you know, the amount of carries you get throughout the season?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty good at hiding it, but no. I just stick to the things that help my body be prepared each and every week, and continue to do those things for my recovery process, because it's a long season. Got to make sure you take care of your body. That's the most important part, so you can come out here and play at a high level week after week.
Speaking of high school, your stats were floating around this week. 1,397 carries in your career, 462 as a senior. Did anybody else touch the ball? Were there any other players?
What do you think? I just, you know, I love making plays. Love having the ball in my hand, and you know, whenever it was, just try to go out there and make plays as much as I can, which the stats show that. So, yeah, I got the ball a lot in high school.
There you go, Derrick Henry today after practice. Awesome.
I'd like to see the quarterback's passing numbers for that season. Like, how much fun would it have been? Like, any of the three of us could have been like, hey, you want to quarterback this high school team? We got this guy, Derrick Henry. All you have to do is don't fumble the snap. Just get the ball to him. Yeah.
80% completion percentage, but doesn't tell people it's 4 or 5.
If people don't know what was going on there, Chase, you've got a little bit more info to, you know, inform the listeners of what was going on there in that exchange.
So Caleb Wagner is the young man that was being referred to there, had 535 yards, 6 touchdowns for Baker High School in Florida, breaking Derrick Henry's record. He's 6'1", 205. He's a junior. But here's what's kind of crazy about this story. He was born without a left hand and part of his left forearm due to amniotic band syndrome. And he's been just a dominant athlete, you know, coming up through the ranks. Doesn't have that arm or half an arm and a hand, but still able to
We
to
saw
do.
That at UCF, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But 6'1", 205, he's a junior. And I thought that was really cool that, you know, he and Derek were able to connect.
Yeah.
He said, and Wagner says in the story, we went back and forth for about 5 minutes or so. So that's cool. Shows you what kind of guy that Derrick Henry is. And as he said, records are meant to be broken. But I thought that was a funny exchange there at the end. What do you think? That's didn't good. Need him. But he said it. Florida boys are built different.
Yeah. I classy move, too.
Sure.
To reach out and say, I mean, just what a thrill that kid must get. Like, Derrick Henry
but
would like to.
But does that shock you? It doesn't shock
me. Doesn't shock you at all. No. Doesn't shock you at all. No. That's what he's about?
Nope. He's just a good guy. So, I mean, that.
He is, yeah, he's exactly what you want. I mean, he's everything you want. And that's why he is the face of the franchise, period.
Yeah.
You don't get that hardly anywhere, right? It's usually the quarterback. I mean, for the most part. I mean, can you name, you know, if we started going through lists, we obviously don't have time to do that. But I mean, how many one would have the running back as the face of the franchise? I would say.
I think for a while
is McCaffrey. I would say the face of Carolina. Their franchise.
Oh, he's got to be.
I think Eddie was for a while.
Eddie was. I think
Eddie
for a while.
Eddie was for a while.
Just because then, he was such that out front spokesman generator.
Yeah, but I'm talking about today's game. I'm not talking.
It's
Eddie
rare.
Was two decades ago.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about today's game. I guess is Kamara the face of New Orleans? Elijah?
Well, now the Breeze is gone, probably. But
right, I mean, we all know it was Breeze, but now that he's,
I kind of think it's up
it
for
Kamara?
Grabs. I don't. I mean, because here's the thing:
it's not Michael Thomas.
Well, Cam Jordan might be the only close second to Kamara, I would say.
But here, I think with a team like that, the answer can be there isn't one. I don't know if someone has really taken that spot yet.
And that's what I'm seeing with Derrick Henry. I think now he's gone from this rising star to superstar.
He's the guy.
And now I think he's also matured into that revered guy. Like there's a different status that he's got that he had going into the season, and now he's just got a presence now. He's got a comfort. And I think the next level is, you know, maybe more of a national. Like I still don't think he gets I don't think he quite gets it. I don't.
I think he does.
You had a lot of people vote for him not being the top running back in the game last year. I don't get that.
It goes back to our previous discussion. Why? Because of exactly what we're talking about. Humble. Isn't out there. Isn't beating his chest. Isn't on social media talking about him. He doesn't have this big presence, this big personality. That's why.
But I think
he lets his. He lets his game do
You're
all
right.
the talking.
You're right, but I think around here there's an appreciation, there's a connection, there's that's our guy. I think he has really helped the fans connect. Like he is the idea. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but you asked though on a national level, and that's your answer. Unfortunately, like I don't know why you can't.
I still think that's missing,
and still have a huge national star. You know what I mean? As in, your star is bright, and everybody. You know, reveres you the same way as he's revered in this market. But it's sad that you have to do all that stuff, like be out there, right? You have to be out there to really get like the national. But, you know, people don't talk about him as much because what? He's humble? He's a great guy.
He doesn't,
but that's
he
what
like
does
to things
the but right that's way. What's so like, real. That's what's so real about how the fans feel about him here because it's taken time. It's marinated.
Yeah.
The more you learn about him, the more you like him because he's quiet. He doesn't seek the attention. But the more you learn, you're like, man, I love that that's our guy in this city. He's becoming that bright, bright star that you're like, when you talk about Nashville, Derrick Henry is coming up to the top of the thing. Like he's lighting up all the lights.
The really telling part of it is when you have the conversation of, okay, all Titans team, you know, what's your starting 11? He's surpassed Eddie. And most of the time when you ask people, they would say it's Henry, then Eddie. and then probably
CJ. That's high praise.
And I would say he's now in a conversation franchise-wise with Earl Campbell. So.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. All right, we will come back. Speaking of that, there's going to be around 80 former Houston Oilers players at the game on Sunday. We'll come back. We'll switch gears. We'll talk about the opponent for the Vols, the other Tennessee team, down in the swamp. We'll talk about the Gators with Pat Dooley to kick off the final hour. That's next.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.